repent. Now, to show you he was giving them a second chance, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm going to give you another chance, church, to this bunch of worldly-minded people that had become engulfed into what? Materialism? Materialism! They were lukewarm and spewed out of Christ's mouth because they said, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't have need of nothing. Why, Lord, that church there, God had blessed them, and they couldn't stand prosperity. They had to let it go to their heads instead of their hearts. Folks, when you let what's in your hand get heavier and more powerful, effective in your life and not which is in your heart, you are losing out with God, whether you acknowledge it or not. Amen. You're on the road back to the pig pen. And here's what they said. We're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. But you don't know, he said, that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now he says, I'm still standing at the door knocking. I've spewed you out of my mouth. You're not in me anymore. You're not in Christ anymore. When you get that attitude, that Laodicean world-conforming attitude, rich on material things and have need of nothing, and you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, he's outside. But he says, I'm standing out knocking, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come back. I'll come back. Give you a second chance, Christian, and I'll sup with you and you with me. I tell you, that's a wonderful, compassionate plea of Jesus Christ. And in conclusion, to bring the message to a close, it'll take maybe 10 minutes here with this illustration. There was a fellow in the New Testament named Mark. Mark. Paul, when he was in his latter days in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, you read about Mark in this vein. He says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. He's in prison now in Rome. He's under death sentence. He's the shadow of the guillotine comes across his room and shines on the floor of his dungeon every day. And his time is right at hand to be martyred. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark, John Mark. Now we go back here just a little bit in the record of the book of Acts, and you find out that Mark had been a very unfaithful companion of Paul in one of his missionary journeys, and we got to examine the book here to find out just what kind of fellow this was now that we're dealing with. In the 12th chapter of Acts, we read something about him here in verse 12 where it says, and when he'd considered the thing, this was Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter was in jail. Herod was going to cut his head off the next day. That was Easter Sunday night. And that night, verse 5 said, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. This fellow, John Mark, had a great background. He had a great genealogy. It was at his mother's house where the church was conducting a prayer meeting that was responsible for the deliverance of the Apostle Peter. And while they were praying in John Mark's house, and no doubt he was there, verse 7, behold, an angel of the Lord came upon Peter, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote him on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said, gird thyself and bind your sandals. And he did. And he says, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went and followed him, and wist not it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he'd seen a vision. They passed the first ward, the second ward. He was three jails inside of another jail. If you ever been to death row, you know what that looks like. I visited death row several times, and they take you in one through the outside jail, and they examine you. Take you in there, and you got to pull your shoes off and part of your clothes, and they look you over, see if you got any knives or guns or any wire or something they could use in an escape effort. Then you go and you go through another door. And there's prisoners around there, but they're not under the death sentence. And they take you in there and they say, you wait here a few minutes and there'll be a guard come and get you and take you further. And then they take you down to some corridor that's darkened, and then they take you into another little cubicle, and there's your fella like an animal all pinned up in there waiting for death. Three doors later, every one of them has to be locked and unlocked. And here this angel went into the death row. Praise God. They were praying at John Mark's house. And the angel let him out. And they passed the first and the second ward. Then they came to the iron gate. Well, there's three doors got to be unlocked. And it opened to them of his own accord. There had to be an angel there with a key opening that door. And they went out, and the angel departed. Peter went down to that house when he considered the thing. Many were praying together at the home of the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Now, this fellow become rather famous, but he had to have a second chance. He was immature. He was undependable. He was like the Bible speaks to the kings of Israel about Pharaoh, said, if any man leans on him, it's like leaning on Pharaoh's like leaning on a broken reed. It'll pierce your hand, but it won't deliver. So are those that put their trust in Pharaoh, and John Mark was just that way. He was someone you couldn't depend in. That young man had a future that didn't look like much of a future, like perhaps you've had that experience too. And in the 13th chapter, listen to this, in verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. This was Paul and Barnabas that God, in verse 2, had separated for the work that he'd called into them. And the Holy Ghost spake and called it out and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And they took John Mark with them. It just says John. All right, going a little further in verse 13. Now when Paul and his company had loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Same John Mark, by the way. He left them right in the middle of a great missionary work where it was dangerous, terribly dangerous. And he went back home. Now, the Bible doesn't say it was a result of cowardice, ignorance, being homesick. But I'm going to tell you something. It evidently was one of those. He was afraid, or he was ignorant, or he was homesick. But what a vast difference from being apathetic to being self-willed, to being rebellious, to being stubborn, to being filled with pride, or having a spirit of lust. You get a second chance. Most of the time you won't take it, if that's what ails you. That young man went off and left him, and I'll tell you right now, it didn't please Paul. He judged him pretty severely. Going over here to the 15th chapter then of this same book of Acts, begin in verse 36, and you'll see here what happened later. Because this fellow had gone and left him, this young John Mark. Verse 36, Acts 15, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren. See, they finished their missionary journey without John. And they made it back home safe and sound, and they had a tremendous amount of success among the heathen. That's where Paul got beat up and died and went to heaven while he was dead and come back. That's recorded in 2 Corinthians 12. Boy, I tell you, that John Mark saw what was happening to those apostles. He decided he'd go home. I think it was pure old fear. He overcome it later. All right. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Same John. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to that work, that scary, fearsome job that they had among the heathen. Well, they had a hard time. They got beat up, killed, and everything else. And Paul said, no, I don't want him to go with us. He'll desert us right in the middle of the battle. We're not going to take him. And the contention was so